Genesis chapter 40. Now, sometime later, the cupbearer and the baker of the king of Egypt offended their master, the king of Egypt. Now, Pharaoh was angry with his two officials, the cupbearer and the chief baker, and he put them in custody in the house of the captain of the guard in the same prison where Joseph was confined. The captain of the guard assigned them to Joseph, and he attended them. After they had been in custody for some time, each of the two men, the cupbearer and the baker of the king of Egypt, who were being held in prison, had a dream the same night, and each dream had a meaning of its own. When Joseph came to them the next morning, he saw that they were dejected. So he asked Pharaoh's officials, who were in custody with him in his master's house, "Why are your faces so sad today?" "We both had dreams," they answered, "but there is no one to interpret them." Then Joseph said to them, "Do not interpretations belong to God? Now tell me your dreams." So the chief cupbearer told Joseph his dream. He said to him, "In my dream I saw a vine in front of me, and on the vine were three branches. As soon as it budded, it blossomed, and its clusters ripened into grapes. Pharaoh's cup was in my hand, and I took the grapes, squeezed them into Pharaoh's cup, and put the cup in his hand." "This is what it means," Joseph said to him. "The three branches are 3 days. Within 3 days, Pharaoh will lift up your head and restore you to the position, to your position, and you will put Pharaoh's cup in his hand, just as you used to do when you were his cup bearer. But when all goes well with you, remember me and show me kindness. Mention me to Pharaoh and get me out of this prison. For I was forcibly carried off from the land of the Hebrews, and even here I have done nothing to deserve being put in a dungeon." When the chief baker saw that Joseph had given a favorable interpretation, he said to Joseph, "I too had a dream. On my head were 3 baskets of bread. In the top basket were all kinds of baked goods for Pharaoh, but the birds were eating them out of the basket on my head." "This is what it means," Joseph said. "The 3 baskets are 3 days. Within 3 days, Pharaoh will lift off your head and hang you on a tree, and the birds will eat away your flesh." Now the 3rd day was Pharaoh's birthday, and he gave a feast for all his officials. He lifted up the heads of the chief cupbearer and the chief baker in the presence of his officials. He restored the chief cupbearer to his position so that he once again put the cup into Pharaoh's hand. But he hanged the chief baker, just as Joseph had said to them in his interpretation. The chief cupbearer, however, did not remember Joseph. He forgot him. Amen. Well, have you ever made someone so angry that they didn't want to talk to you? And they're so angry that you can't even get close enough to offer an apology. When that happens, it's good to have another friend or another person who can approach them on your behalf. And that friend isn't turned away because they've done nothing wrong. They can go right up to this person that you've offended and they can offer a good word on your behalf. If you have someone like that, then you have a chance at reconciliation. Now, that is the role of a mediator. It is to take up your case with someone else. They put in a good word for you. And in prison, Joseph needs one. He needs someone to speak for his case in front of Pharaoh. Someone who is in good standing with Pharaoh. After all, how else is he going to get out of prison? Well, Joseph, the favoured son of Jacob, was sold into slavery by his brothers. He has been sold by the Ishmaelites to Potiphar, the captain of the guard. And while there, the Lord prospered everything that he did. And all was well until Potiphar's wife wanted to sleep with him. And Joseph, who feared the Lord, rejected her advances, and so, in revenge, she made it out like he had tried to rape her. And Potiphar then put Joseph in prison. Joseph has seen injustice twice now. He has gone from favoured son to favoured servant, and then from favoured servant to prison. But even there, the Lord showed him loving kindness and prospered his hand, so that now Joseph oversees everything that goes on in the prison. How is Joseph going to get out? Or will he be stuck there forever? Who can set him free? Chapter 40 begins, sometime later, the cupbearer and the baker of the king of Egypt offended their master, the king of Egypt. Pharaoh is angry with his two officials, the chief cupbearer and the chief baker, and put them in custody in the house of the captain of the guard, in the same prison where Joseph was confined. The captain of the guard assigned them to Joseph, and he attended them. Now, these two new prisoners are more important than you might think. A pharaoh, like any king, was a target for those who despised his rule and government. So he had a bodyguard who would protect him from violence. And because that protection was loyal and strong, the other way a king would be taken down would be by poison. And so the chief cupbearer had an important position. He would ensure that whatever pharaoh drank was good. And the chief baker was responsible for the food that came to Pharaoh's table. And so these are two men who were close to Pharaoh, and at least before their imprisonment, they were trusted by Pharaoh. What they did against Pharaoh is not clear. Perhaps Pharaoh thought treason was in their minds. Perhaps they had become overly familiar and simply said something that they shouldn't have. Or maybe it was just bad wine and overcooked bread. Whatever it was, Pharaoh had them imprisoned. And now they've come to the same prison where Joseph is. It is the prison which was overseen by the captain of the guard, that is Potiphar. It is where all the king's prisoners were sent. And there, these two important prisoners were given into Joseph's care. In fact, it seems that Potiphar himself asked for these two men to come under Joseph's care. And so verse 4 continues, after they had been in custody for some time, each of the two men, the cupbearer and the baker of the king of Egypt, who were being held in prison, had a dream the same night, and each dream had a meaning of its own. And Joseph came to them, and the next morning he saw that they were dejected. So he asked Pharaoh's officials, who were in custody with him in his master's house, "Why are your faces so sad today?" "We both had dreams," they answered, "but there is no one to interpret them." Now, I expect that the stress of being sent to prison would be enough to give anyone bad dreams. But it is after they've been there for a while that one day these two men both have dreams the same night. And so what makes these dreams special is, well, they're both very similar to each other. They've both dreamed them the same night. They're both remembering them in the morning. And both dreams are sticking in their minds. And they don't know what these dreams mean. And so it is enough to make them deeply concerned. They are, of course, more than the usual dreams. These particular dreams are God-given prophetic dreams. And we only know that because of the way things turn out. They have an interpretation, and the interpretation is true. And all of this is part of God's longer-term plans for Joseph. Now, the Egyptians believed that in sleep they entered into a spiritual world, and the dreams were messages from that world. And so seeking an interpretation for dreams was not something that was unusual to them. They've probably done it many times before. But the pagan mystics who would normally conjure up their own interpretations were not available to them in prison. And so they are despairing about these dreams. But Joseph is there. Verse 8 continues, Joseph said to them, "Do not interpretations belong to God? Tell me your dreams." So the chief cupbearer told Joseph his dream. He said to him, "In my dream I saw a vine in front of me, and on the vine were three branches. As soon as it budded, it blossomed, and its clusters ripened into grapes. And Pharaoh's cup was in my hand, and I took the grapes, squeezed them into Pharaoh's cup, and put the cup in his hand." This is what it means, Joseph said to him, the three branches are 3 days, and within 3 days Pharaoh will lift up your head and restore you to your position, and you will put Pharaoh's cup in his hand, just as you used to do when you were his cupbearer. It's an interpretation with a very good outcome. The cupbearer would be freed from prison, returned to his original position with Pharaoh, and whatever he had done against Pharaoh would be forgiven. And this would come soon. He needs only to wait for 3 days. I dare say he cheered up a lot after that interpretation. But I also wonder whether the Egyptian mystics ever interpreted with the accuracy that Joseph has. Now, this is an interpretation that is very time-specific. It's very clear on the outcome, and none of it rests on anything that's conditional. None of it rests in the hands of the cupbearer himself or on Joseph. There's no call to say, well, if you have enough faith, it'll go this way. Now, this is simply what Pharaoh will do and when he's going to do it. Many interpreters of dreams speak good things, but they're often very general unless they've got some secret inside information. The future is hazy, and half the time you'd need an interpreter for the interpretation. But Joseph gets specific about things that are definitely outside of his knowledge, outside of his control, because this is about what someone else is going to do and when. This isn't lucky guesswork. This is an interpretation from God. In fact, this is the work of a prophet. Now that Joseph knows that the baker will be returning to Pharaoh, he sees an opportunity. He seeks a favour from the cupbearer. Verse 14 says, "But when all goes well with you, remember me and show me kindness. Mention me to Pharaoh and get me out of this prison. For I was forcibly carried off from the land of the Hebrews, and even here I have done nothing to deserve being put in a dungeon." The one person who can free Joseph is Pharaoh. He has the authority to overrule Potiphar, the chief of the bodyguard. And Joseph now has a potential friend who can mediate for him. He's probably made many friends in prison, but none will be freed in 3 days, and perhaps none of them will be as close to Pharaoh and as trusted by Pharaoh as his chief cupbearer. And so Joseph proclaims his innocence to the cupbearer and seeks a favour. But the favour actually isn't really a small one. It's a big one. It's a bold ask. And even if the cupbearer remembers, maybe not much will come of it. I mean, think about it. If the cupbearer, who is barely out of prison, would he be able to ask a favour from Pharaoh so soon? And what would Pharaoh do with this Hebrew slave? Is he going to send him home? Or is he going to hang on to him, employ him for himself? What would happen to him then? Maybe it would just simply be a case of out of the frying pan and into the fire. But Joseph does see God's hand in all these events. He takes courage that the Lord has been with him all this time, and perhaps this is the very thing he's meant to do. Perhaps this is the moment of his freedom. And so he makes this bold request. And meanwhile, seeing this wonderful interpretation that the chief cupbearer received, the chief baker is hoping for something much the same. His dream is very similar. Both of these dreams include something of their old role: the cupbearer bringing wine, the baker bringing bread, 3 branches, 3 baskets. Already the chief baker is very hopeful. Verse 16 says, "When the chief baker saw that Joseph had given a favourable interpretation, he said to Joseph, 'I too had a dream. On my head were 3 baskets of bread. In the top basket were all kinds of baked goods for Pharaoh, but the birds were eating them out of the basket on my head.'" This is what it means, Joseph said. "The 3 baskets are 3 days. Within 3 days, Pharaoh will lift off your head and hang you on a tree, and the birds will eat away your flesh." Wow. Joseph just comes right out and says it, doesn't he? Just completely honest about what the Lord has asked him to say. The challenge for a prophet, indeed anyone sharing the word of God, is to speak the bad news with as much certainty and clarity as the good news. Joseph doesn't water it down. He doesn't introduce any maybes that don't exist. That would not be what God has given him to say. He simply says, in 3 days you're going to die. And you're going to die horribly. Even for the Egyptians, what they thought about the afterlife, they sought to preserve their bodies in their death. And this man's going to be consumed by the birds. For the Egyptians, this is a vengeful punishment that's going to come upon him from Pharaoh. He's not going to be restored to his former position. He's not even going to spend his life in prison. He's going to die. He's going to die horribly. And he's got 3 days to live. The silence between this verse and its fulfillment in the following verses is quite deafening. Maybe there were words of consolation, or perhaps it was just 3 days of silence. Joseph, of course, doesn't ask him for any favours. He's going to die. There's no point. What more could be said? There was good news for the cupbearer and the worst kind of news for the baker. The baker probably fell into denial. How many interpretations of dreams had he had before that hadn't actually come true? But his death was certain. God had ordained it. Verse 20 says, "Now the third day was Pharaoh's birthday, and he gave a feast for all his officials. He lifted up the heads of the chief cupbearer and the chief baker in the presence of his officials. He restored the chief cupbearer to his position so that he once again put the cup into Pharaoh's hand. But he hanged the chief baker just as Joseph had said to them in his interpretation." Everything came about exactly as Joseph had said, both the good and the bad. Here the fact that the interpretation of dreams belongs to God is resoundingly proven. What Joseph said was not guesswork of his own. What difference could Joseph see between the cupbearer and the baker? None. How well did Joseph know Pharaoh and what he would do? He didn't know him at all. With one dying and one living, it seems that Pharaoh decided on a whim who would live and who would die. How could Joseph possibly have predicted that one would live and one would die? Never mind which man would live and which one would die. He just couldn't. The Lord gave him the interpretation. The Lord was making certain that the cupbearer knew that through Joseph, accurate interpretations could be found. Indeed, interpretations of dreams belong to the Lord. God gave the dreams, he gives the interpretation, and his interpretation is always true because the Lord is sovereign over all things. He controls all sides of the equation. And so now, of course, these things had come true, both the good and the bad, and there could be no doubt in the cupbearer's mind that Joseph had spoken truly. And unfortunately, this is not going to be evident for some time. Verse 23 tells us the chief cupbearer, however, did not remember Joseph. He forgot him. Joseph was hoping for release. He wanted to be out of prison, but it did not come. I would guess that later he understood why. It is all in the timing. The Lord did not want him released now. If he came out now, Pharaoh would actually have nothing for him to do. And so the worst thing that Pharaoh could have done would actually be to free Joseph and then send him home. Instead, when Joseph comes out of prison, it is to interpret a dream for Pharaoh. And from that moment, Joseph is freed and he comes into power in Egypt. And from there, he will rescue his family, his brothers, and the line of Christ will be preserved. But for now, the cupbearer forgets Joseph. The timing of God's plans is always in his hands. And we can't know all that God has in store. We don't know all of the events that he has in play and how they connect. We don't see all of the moving pieces. And sometimes God's plans are basically like intricate clockwork. You see some cog spinning one way, you see some cog spinning another way, and they even seem to be doing opposing things, but then somehow it all connects together. There might even be little cogs that are just spinning with no apparent reason at all. And then you look at the face of the watch, and all of a sudden you can see the end of it. Until the big picture of God's plans are revealed, all we can do is trust Him. And we might expect that that's what Joseph began to do. The Lord remained with him and always would. He might not yet be free, but the Lord would not forsake him. Now, in this chapter, we see the working out of God's plan concerning Joseph and his family, which is the future nation of Israel. But there is something else to see here too. The baker and the cupbearer are downcast at first because they had no way of having their dreams interpreted. There was no one to give them that interpretation, but interpretations belong to the Lord. And so when Joseph came, he acted as a mediator with the Lord for them. And Joseph sought and received the interpretation for their dreams from the Lord on their behalf. And they received the truth. And Joseph mediated for the two officials. Now Joseph in turn saw that the cupbearer would mediate for him with Pharaoh. He had faced injustice after injustice. He wanted his freedom. And in this prison, the prison of the king, there was only one he could see that could bring that relief. And that was Pharaoh. "Remember me," he says to the cupbearer. He needs someone to intercede for him. He needs someone to take up his case. He needs a mediator to reach out to Pharaoh. I wonder if he forgot for a moment that the Lord had been with him, or whether he thought what he was doing was what the Lord wanted him to do. But in the end, he didn't actually need to ask the cupbearer anything. What he asked for didn't matter. It turned out for nothing because the cupbearer forgot him. And eventually, when the cupbearer does say something, it's not primarily from a remembered favour to Joseph, but in response to Pharaoh's need for a dream interpreter. And there the Lord is clearly orchestrating things again. Now, Joseph didn't actually need the cupbearer to be his mediator. He already had one. The Lord was with Joseph. In this case, Joseph was simply looking to be freed from prison, and from there he needed someone to pull strings. If he was ever going to get out, he needed someone to mediate for him, but he had the one above all pulling all the strings for him. Like Joseph, we need a mediator too. But our case is far worse than simply being in prison. We're not in prison physically, but we are facing judgment. And if nothing is done, we will die and go to hell. It's not a pleasant message, but that's the truth. We've grieved the King of all things, the Creator. We've sinned against God and done what is evil in His sight. Because of our sins, we stand under His judgment. But who will mediate for us with a wrathful God? Who will stand before Him and reconcile us to Him? The answer is Jesus, of course. Jesus is our mediator. He is the one who will speak on our behalf before His Father. It is like we're stuck in prison and we need someone to get us out. The judgment, the verdict on our lives is already out, and the only way we can be freed is through Jesus. And for those who are in Christ, our mediator, our Saviour, is not like the cupbearer. He's not going to forget us. Already He stands before His Father, and He has already mediated for us and will continue to do so until we come into His kingdom. Our sins are forgiven. Our place in the kingdom of God is assured. But for those who don't know Christ, a terrible shock awaits. There is no redemption outside of Christ, nothing outside of him, and there will be plenty of people who try to say otherwise. When they come before him, they will say, "Didn't we do really good things? Weren't we good examples of human beings? Didn't we attend church all of our lives? Didn't we do great things in the world?" But he will say, "Away from me, I never knew you." Come judgment day, it will be too late to seek that relationship with Christ. If you don't have a relationship with Christ, you have no one mediating for you. Without a mediator, only judgment awaits. What does it take to become a Christian? What does it take to have Jesus as a saviour? Well, not much on our part. It is the thief on the cross who appeals to Christ in the simplest of terms. He found himself facing judgment, and rightly so. He was being punished for his sins, and as he saw death approaching, he saw beside himself another man on another cross. And what he saw was not what many saw. He saw the Son of God. He saw someone who would live. And more importantly, he saw someone who could mediate for him. He knew his sin, he knew his brokenness, he knew he deserved nothing. But what did he say? "Remember me. Remember me when you come into your kingdom. Remember me. Can you please do something for me? For I cannot save myself." Man in the depths of his despair on the cross found the one person in all the universe who could mediate for him. And he was on the cross beside him. None of us will be able to withstand the judgment of God alone. Only with Christ can we hope for a different outcome. But Christ's answer to anyone who comes to him is the same he gave to the thief on the cross. "I tell you assuredly, you will be with me in paradise. I will certainly remember you, and I will mediate for you with my Father in heaven, and in time you will be with me in my heavenly kingdom. Indeed, I am preparing a place for you there." The thief on the cross found someone to remember him. Joseph needed someone to remember him to Pharaoh, and he thought he had someone in the cupbearer, but in truth, the Lord was his mediator. In the end, the Lord would lead Pharaoh to set him free. And you need a mediator too. You need a saviour. And you can have one in Christ. He can set you free from sin and death. Amen. Let's pray. Now, Lord, our Heavenly Father, we know, Lord, that we have grieved you by our many sins. We know that our heart has not been pure. And yet, you have offered your Son to us to rescue us. Stands there ready to mediate for us, to bring us to you, to restore our relationship with you, Lord. And so we thank you and praise you for all that we have in Jesus. Lord, we pray for those with whom we've been sharing the gospel that you would help them, Lord, come to know your Son. We pray, Lord, that they would reach out to him and in turn they would find that salvation has been prepared for them and a place in your kingdom already stands ready. Lord, we thank you for all we have in Christ and all that we will have in Christ. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.